L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The dictator of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, in Russia, not only in Russia, but in Vostochny, the Russian rocket base in Siberia, to meet with Vladimir Putin. Noticeably much in the news because the Russian media covered it heavily. And the images across Russia, across Europe, certainly into Asia, introduce the possibility that this is, yes, about the Ukraine war. We're told that Russia is shopping for artillery shells. However, Shoigu could have handled that, the defense minister, when he was visiting Kim in Pyongyang. This meeting suggests something more is in the future. And I welcome Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. Anatole, striking images of Kim traveling to Vostochny in his guarded train. But the greeting by Vladimir Putin was genuine and diplomatic at the same time. Yes, this is about Ukraine, but it's also about what I would say is an alliance that includes China. How do you interpret these events? Good evening to you.
Hello, John. It is in part, of course, as has been reported, a strictly practical military deal for North Korea to provide perhaps as many as a million, perhaps more, artillery shells to Russia for the war in Ukraine. This is, I think, in part a response to America getting hundreds of thousands of shells from South Korea earlier this year. What we don't know, and which is absolutely critical, is what Russia will give in return, because the supply of Russian missile technology would transform North Korea's nuclear deterrent, allowing it to strike the United States, which would certainly be a considerable escalation. But you're quite right. I mean, it also goes beyond this. Putin is obviously anxious to build up alliances and partnerships now wherever he can, and especially in areas where, obviously, as in the Korean Peninsula, he can remind the United States and its allies that Russia indirectly has the capacity to do a huge amount of damage to American interests. Because from the Russian point of view, America has crossed repeated Russian red lines, and by the way, crossed lines which NATO previously said that it would not cross in terms of weapon supplies to Ukraine. It's difficult for Russia to push back directly without, of course, risking a catastrophic war with NATO. So I think Putin is looking to cause as much indirect trouble for America and its allies as he can.
And the conversation also turned on the ability of Vostochny to launch satellites. North Korea has failed with two satellite launches, we're told. All of this is fog of war. But in any event, spy satellites are something North Korea is involved with, looking at its neighbors and in the neighborhood. So implicit in your response is this war is growing to East Asia. Is that how to read this? And the move that brought together President Yoon of South Korea, Prime Minister Kishida of Japan, and President Biden at Camp David, that is very much in the minds of Moscow as it greets Kim, to grow this conflict to a global contest. Is that a fair interpretation?
Yes, and I think it's very likely that Putin also got a green light from Beijing to do this. I would doubt that, unless it was very unwise, Russia would do anything with North Korea that China did not approve of. And of course, yes, I mean, China was quite seriously rattled by the closer partnership between South Korea, Japan, and America, because while China has long regarded Japan as an enemy, it has tried to maintain good relations with South Korea. And also, you know, it must be said that up to now, China and Russia have not encouraged North Korean adventurism. But clearly, the war in Ukraine has very much changed that equation. Now, that said, I do not believe for a second that Beijing and Moscow have given North Korea a green light to start a war, actually to attack South Korea, because that, of course, would be a catastrophic escalation with utterly unpredictable consequences, which would also be disastrous for the world economy and for North Korea and for China as well. So I don't think, you know, that the actual shooting war is spreading yet, pray God. But certainly, yes, I mean, as by the way was widely predicted, countries all over the world are more and more being drawn in, or there are attempts to draw them in to one side or the other in this, not just over the war in Ukraine, but the Cold War between the US and China as well.
To the Cold War, to Europe, the frontier, the Baltic states, Poland, leading to the Ukraine conflict. The news says that Poland, through various offices, has requested to have gravity bombs, B-21s, I think they're called, or B-61s, nuclear weapons, deployed to Poland to match the deployment, we're told, of Russian tactical nuclear weapons to Belarus. At this point, there's been no approval by NATO, and Poland is going to continue its case not only for gravity bombs, nuclear weapons in Poland, but also for F-35s that are capable of carrying nuclear weapons into the future. The reason I mention this is because I'm told that this conversation will continue until the next NATO summit in Washington next year. Is this an escalation? How do you read this? Poland is certainly frontier, but also the one that's reacted most militarily to the conflict in Ukraine of all the NATO nations.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would be a very serious escalation. And as we have seen from the latest information about this very near clash between a Russian and a British aircraft last year over the Black Sea. You know, it's bad enough when you have warplanes in very close vicinity to each other along a border. Nuclear-armed warplanes becomes, you know, the stuff of nightmares. The only justification I could see for this, given, by the way, that Russia has never shown the slightest intention of invading Poland, would be to do or to prepare the way for doing what Kennedy did to end the Cuban Missile Crisis, which was to withdraw U.S. nuclear missiles from Turkey covert, but reciprocation for the withdrawal of Soviet nuclear missiles from Cuba. The problem is, though, that as soon as NATO establishes new forces in Eastern Europe, it becomes somehow a point of principle, or it is too humiliating, or any attempt to deal with Russia becomes, you know, a shameful surrender. And you can never get them out again because Russia asked for the withdrawal of new NATO forces stationed in Eastern Europe, which, of course, NATO had previously promised not to station in new members, as part of a proposed deal whereby the Russian invasion of Ukraine would have been avoided. And instead of negotiating on that, NATO categorically ruled it out. So, you know, every step forward by NATO becomes not a bargaining chip for an agreement with Russia to prevent or end war, but an irrevocable step.
I'm also told it's the possibility that Finland and Sweden are part of this conversation. All NATO nations are part of this conversation. The Baltics are. I believe we could assume that they're looking past the Ukraine conflict into a standoff with Russia, with Tehran, with Beijing, and now with Pyongyang. That's a bleak future, Anatole. Is that where we're headed? All we can do is guess at this point, but what is your assumption?
Yes, I think it's very likely that we are headed that way. And obviously, this is a tragedy, given the hopes that we had 30 years ago after the end of the Cold War. Frankly, it is something that Western leaders and planners should have thought about much more seriously before they began to challenge the vital interests of a nuclear-armed superpower, Russia. I mean, God knows, we had warnings enough about what Russia's reaction was likely to be.
The G20 meeting in Delhi, a decision was made after days of debating before and after and during and after the G20 not to condemn Russia. Did that surprise you? Is that significant to Moscow?
It didn't surprise me, because it has been the pretty consistent position of most of the members of the G20 since the war began, or at least to condemn Russia, but also to blame the West, and generally to try to keep out of this to try to promote a peace settlement. It didn't surprise me very much. I mean, what I think it indicates is that in this growing universal diplomatic game that we're seeing between China and Russia on the one side and America and the West on the other, a majority of countries around the world actually want to keep out of that. They don't want to take sides. They do condemn Russia, but they also blame the West for a lot that has happened. They have concerns about China, but they also, of course, have concerns about the United States, given its record over the past 25 years. And, of course, they have very important economic connections with both sides. So I think, what this indicates is that, somewhat unlike in the Cold War, you have a very large number of states which are not on either side and wish to remain so.
And finally, the remarks by Lula da Silva, the newly elected once upon a time president of Brazil, a skillful diplomat. And Vladimir Putin is welcome to Rio de Janeiro for the next meeting of the G20 in 2024. Since then, there has been a qualification of those remarks because Brazil is a signatory of the International Criminal Court. Is this indicating that the non-aligned, the we don't make a choice part of the world is leaning towards Putin in some fresh fashion, or is this just Mr. da Silva making a mistake?
Well, I think that Lula would very much like to be a peacemaker in Ukraine, as would, by the way, a number of other leaders, Narendra Modi in India, Indonesia, and therefore, wishes to keep good relations with Putin. Obviously, it would be a prestige boost for Brazil if it could bring forward a peace proposal which Russia would accept. But I think, what you have to also remember, especially, of course, on the Latin American left, is the fact that, for very obvious historical reasons, they really do not like being ordered around by the United States. Famous remark by Porfirio Diaz, the dictator of Mexico, about his country. Poor Mexico, so far from God and so close to the United States. And so I think that there is an instinctive pushback by governments, but no doubt also appealing to large sections of public opinion. When the U.S. tells you to do something, do the opposite.
Anatole Levin, Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, to the battlefield. I'm John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.